You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast,
featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast presented by SportsbookWire.com. It's Masters Week, and Augusta National Golf Club is taking center stage in this episode. We're doing our 2021 Masters preview with Golf Week's managing editor, Tim Schmidt. I also, of course, got my handicap and hype man on the horn with me here, Eston McLaren. Before I bring those guys in, though, let me do a special shout-out to our sponsor, BetMGM. It's a sportsbook that's operational in 10 states, and they have an awesome user-friendly mobile app in Colorado, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Iowa, Tennessee, Nevada, Michigan, and Virginia. So all of our listeners out in those states, be sure to check out BetMGM. On to the show, though. Got to bring him in. He's my handicap and hype man, my gambling consigliere, the co-host, and the sharper one of this podcast, Eston McLaren. Eston, what's up?
Jeff, thank you. Hey, everything's up this week. Masters week, the best week of the year, my favorite betting week of the year. And hey, it's only been 5 months since the last one, so I can get used to this. Unfortunately, not going to be able to, but going to take it while I can. And yeah, this two Masters in a 5 month window, about as good as it gets.
Yeah, man, I'm excited for the Masters, and I'm not even like that much of a golf bettor. I love the pageantry and the tradition of Augusta, and I'm growing more and more a golf lover. Here to help us break down this the 2021 Masters is Golf Week's managing editor Tim Schmidt. He was here to break down the 2020 Masters. What's up, Tim?
Hey guys. So I'm in Texas. How long till I can start gambling? Are you going to help me with the inside info? When are we going to push this through down here?
I don't know. I don't have like the state-by-state breakdown of when that's going to happen. Just email Ted Cruz. I'm sure he'll help.
He could take care of it. If he's not in Cancun, he can push that through.
Yeah, that's exactly. Perfect.
Thanks.
Eston, so you were saying, this is pretty much the highlight of your betting calendar. I've seen you put out a whole bunch of handicaps and articles handicapping or taking shots at the Masters. Why don't you start this conversation off here with Tim? What are the first things that stand out to you regarding the 2021 Masters, and what are some of the takeaways from the 2020 Masters?
Yeah, so I guess looking back only 5 months ago to the 2020 Masters, Dustin Johnson won at a record 20 under par, won by 5 strokes. And Tim, I want to kind of get your thoughts here, but like, I'm not really putting much stock into 2020, no. That was in the fall, cooler weather, whatever. The course played softer, evidently easier than it ever has before, really. And, you know, how much is, you know, just standard weather conditions and also the people at Augusta National being offended by the low scores last year? How much more difficult should we expect it to play this year?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I agree with you. This is going to be much more traditional. This is going to have that feel unlike last year, where in the fall, really, they were just pin seeking. I mean, there are times where it felt like so unlike anything we'd ever seen out at Augusta, talking about 20 under par and things that were, you know, unheard of at previous times. I agree with you. I think that the folks at Augusta National are going to take a little bite out of the players, especially for the first couple of rounds because of that. But the things that have held true to form at Augusta National in the past are going to kind of resurface, I think, this year. You know, folks with distance is a premium, but there's not a ton of trouble to get in Augusta. Now it goes back to iron play. Those guys who can really hit their irons and approach shots throughout the week. I think, you know, Dustin Johnson was going to win. I don't think it would have mattered what the conditions were in the fall. But the rest of that leaderboard, I think, will look very different this time. And we're going to see more of a traditional week here at Augusta, where you've got guys who can you know, hit irons into these greens, obviously make some putts as well. But getting into those greens is the key, and I think you'll see that at a premium again this year.
Yeah, like you mentioned, we didn't really see a whole lot of those, I don't know, the ball landing beside the pin and then rolling off the front false front into the water. And like, other than Tiger Woods on Sunday on number 12, you know, we didn't really see a whole lot of that, the frustration and, you know, guys just bending over and then throwing their arms up in the air. So I'm going to lean into the angle that I think the grounds crew at Augusta, they kind of have revenge on their mind. And yeah, like you mentioned, that leaderboard from last year, you know, the Dylan Fratellis, the CT Pans, the Sung J.M. even, he's not coming in nearly as good a form as he was in last year anyway. I think it's going to be very different in that regard. And then I think we need to look more at guys who have historically played well in tough conditions and on tougher golf courses. And last year, there was a lot of hype around Colin Morikawa coming in, especially at the PGA Championship win. You know, he finished T44, not that impressive. You know, that's a guy, he can't play well in tough conditions on tough golf courses and where, you know, other guys aren't going to be able to stick it on the green as well.
But you bring up an interesting point in looking at the history of players and what they've done over the course of time. Augusta is unlike any other in that regard. I mean, it's not like U.S. Open conditions where you're playing different courses or PGA Championship, but it's something that takes, there's definitely a knowledge base that you kind of have to acquire over the years. For the most part, there have been a couple of exceptions, but for the most part, watching a progression like what Dustin Johnson went through to get to that point where he could, you know, finally get over the top is so important for these guys. Learning the course, learning, you know, I had a one-on-one yesterday for about a half an hour with Bubba Watson, which was just great. And that's what he said. He said, you know, the first handful of times you might get lucky out here and have a T5 finish or something that, you know, you're really proud of, but to do it consistently, you need to learn this place up and down. And that takes years because of the intricacies at Augusta. So I do think that there's a lot to be said for that knowledge base. It's great to say Colin Morikawa was the hot guy going back then. Colin Morikawa had to learn this golf course and learn how to play it. And, you know, there'll probably be a time for him in the future. I don't know if it's this week, but there will probably be a time, but there's a learning curve at Augusta and those players really have to go through it. And Dustin Johnson was a perfect example. I mean, one of the world's best for a long, long time, finally got to that comfort zone, and look what he did when he finally got there.
The other thing, relating back to that leaderboard from last year, you know, the surprising names, I guess, how much of that should be contributed to the lack of patrons on the grounds? And there's a reduced capacity this year. I don't know if you've seen an official number or official percentage yet, but is that going to make things more difficult for these younger, less experienced guys as well?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. And I've been covering the tour for, you know, off and on, especially here in Texas for the last year, through a lot of the pandemic. I think I've been to 6 or 7 tournaments in that. And, you know, I don't know necessarily that it has a huge impact on anyone. I mean, would Dustin Johnson have won in the fall with 100,000 people or, you know, whatever it is over the course of 4 days? Probably. I mean, guy was just playing the best golf of anybody that, you know, in that stretch and had the game to put together. I think the fans are important. I think it's interesting. I followed them the last 2 weeks. They've been here in Texas. So I got to go to Austin. I got to go to San Antonio. I think, like, for example, Scotty Scheffler was someone who really used that rallying behind him. I don't think he'd ever, since he's been on tour, but without fans, he really used that at the Dell Match Play to kind of ramp up his game a little bit. But other than that, for the most part, these guys are pros. The guys who are great players, and especially at a place like Augusta, a crowd makes a difference. I don't know that it'll make that much of a difference if it's a big crowd or a small one.
Do you?
I was just going to say,
how much do you take away from last week's finish, the Valero Open, and Jordan Spieth winning?
let's do 5 minutes on my guy Jordan Spieth. I mean, I love Jordan Spieth, and watching Jordan Spieth go, just watching him, following him. I followed him on Sunday for a while, actually Saturday and Sunday over the weekend. And there's just no one as dynamic to follow, to be around, other than Tiger, you know, when in recent memory. But his shot making, the creativity, the excitement that he, you know, the nervous energy, the constant nervous energy. It's so much fun, especially for a reporter. I mean, to be out there and watch, you know, I think they said 7,500 in San Antonio, but to have that many Texans following around. And I said this, I tweeted this out actually on Sunday. Think about it. I live here in Austin. Texas football has been a stinkeroo in the 7 years that I've been here. Basketball team just fired their coach moved to Marquette. Cowboys have been awful. There has not been something in Texas to get behind for a long, long time. And you could sense it when Jordan Spieth got hot last weekend. These people are like, oh man, I forgot what it was like to win something. Now that's amazing. And that was so fun to be around. And it's someone that as a reporter, as a fan of the game, a fan of the PGA Tour, that's someone I want in the hunt at all times. To say that he does this again at Augusta this week, man, if you get yourself in the kind of trouble that Jordan Spieth got himself into the last 2 weeks at Augusta National, it's the angles that you'll have to come in on. Like Esten said, it's you might find those greens, but you're not going to hold those greens. Man, I would love to think Jordan Spieth is going to be there on Sunday this year. I just don't see it. Maybe you see it differently, Esten, but I hope I'm wrong. I just don't see it.
No, you're right. And especially from a betting perspective, like his game was in absolute disarray last year. That was much discussed by everyone. Finishing a tie for 46 at Augusta. He then opened at plus 6,000 to win this 2021 Masters. He's now plus 1,100, shares the second best odds with DeChambeau, Rahm, Thomas. No, you're putting those three together, or those four together. No, you're obviously ranking Spieth last in that group every right. single time. And yeah, as fun as it was last week, I agree with you. He's very fun to golf. He's probably the most fun golfer to cheer for on a regular basis, right? Like, as good as Tiger Woods was in his peak, he was tough to get that involved with because he's just so unrelatable, right? And yeah, that's almost similar with Dustin Johnson right now. This last year he's had, like, it's not that fun. He's just kind of does it. But yeah, Spieth, it was the Waste Management Open. We first saw the finger points coming back, right? The guys across the pond, he's talking to them. And yeah, no, he just so engaging, and definitely he benefited from the return of fans to some extent. And yeah, you just can't touch him at plus 1,100, 11 to 1 payout, not even close. You know, hope he does well, but you know, if that's one that, you know, if it just ends up being a good story, then sure, I'm fine sitting out Jordan Spieth this week.
So David Dusek, he does equipment for Golf Week as well as basically analytics stuff for us. He wrote a piece that came out yesterday that says, in 2015, when Spieth was, you know, basically near the top of his game, he ranked second in strokes gained total. Just an awesome stat where he was kind of on top of it. Last year, he was 99th in strokes gained total. And even with where he's been over the last 2 months, which is 54 hole leader three or four times now, he's still 45th on the PGA Tour in strokes gained total. When he blows up, he blows up. And, you know, he's doing this with some miraculous shots. I just don't think on a course that's as difficult as this one that you're going to be able to do that consistently for 4 days. It's going to catch up with you eventually at Augusta.
No, and, you know, the thing that he does have is the course history, though, right? He leads this field, anyone with at least five rounds played, 2.9 strokes gained on the field per round. Like, more than Tiger Woods, more than Phil Mickelson, Justin Rose, whoever. Spieth leads that crowd. It's surprising he only has the one win here, but yeah, like you say, even last week, getting the victory, the specific flaws that he still has in his game, they don't translate to surviving at Augusta National.
Yep, I agree.
You guys have mentioned a few times like the difficulty of Augusta National and how the grounds crew could end up, checking these golfers, especially after some of the high scoring numbers last year. I was just interested, this might help like inform the novice better, like myself. Do they stack rank or index golf courses in any like one publication, maybe a Golf Week or somewhere else? Like Eston was saying, like typically you got to look at how these golfers perform in difficult golf courses. So like, is there some sort of like aggregate or stack ranking to these?
So the slope at Augusta National, I'd love this. Stand there. I'm looking this up from one of our previous articles. Standard is what? 113 is your standard slope. Augusta National slope, and that's a pretty, that's the determining. I'm trying to figure out if I have it here, but I mean, it's considerably higher. This is a really, really, really difficult golf course. And there are so many reasons for that. It's not only some of the angles trying to get into these pins, but as Eston was saying, I mean, holding the greens at Augusta National is just so, so very difficult, especially with that stretch on the back nine, not just the men's corner, but that whole stretch on the back. And to watch players do this consistently, I think that's why the course knowledge is such an important part of this, is because if you're not someone who's seen this and knows how to play this, look, even average or above average golfers can go out to new courses. There are new courses on the tour all the time. I went to the Houston Open, which they played at Memorial Park Golf Course last year. You know, these guys had never played it. They still attacked all the pins. And it's a difficult course. It's been redesigned. Augusta National's intricacies are just, they're just so distinct and make it so difficult that you really do have to have background knowledge. And that just shows up year after year. The number one course though, in terms of overall slope, and I don't have that in front of me. I should, right? I should have that. I know that Bethpage Black was one of the highest. I don't know if you have it in front of you, Eston, but anyway, it's way up there. I mean, it's way, way up there. It's one of the highest in terms of slope. It's one of the hardest courses in not just the country, but in the whole world.
Well, and Wingfoot's way up there, and yeah, you know, a lot of the U.S. Open courses, and it's also the U.S. Open conditions of the thick rough, the fast greens, whatever. But kind of the issue for any other course, Jeff, is with majors as well, like, they're not guaranteed to host a tournament again, right? So if it plays too easy or plays too hard, you know, the PGA Tour, the USGA, whatever, can just choose to not go back there for a while. That's not a concern with Augusta National. They're hosting the Masters each and every year. So that's why I think that, yeah, they're going to say, hey, hope you guys had fun in the fall, because you're taking it in the pants this time.
Another question I had, something you guys were talking about, Jordan Spieth creeping up into the top five or top six favorites here in the Masters to win the tournament betting lines. Now, I know you're not a big gambler yourself, Tim. You know, obviously that's what we're doing here, though. I did have a question for both of you, and that's which of the top six favorites have the most value? I have the odds right here in front of me, Tim, so I'll just read them off for you in case you don't. Dustin Johnson's the favorite at plus 900, DeChambeau at plus 1100, Rahm plus 1100, Spieth also plus 1100, Justin Thomas plus 1100. And I could have stopped at five to make it easy, but I just want to bring up this name to maybe spur some more conversation. But that would be Rory McIlroy's at plus 1800. So where do you think the value is with these six names? Like if forced to make a bet on any one of them,
I can tell you, I'm going to say the exact opposite of what I said in the fall. I said that I didn't think Justin Thomas's game was where it needed to be. And I think that Justin Thomas, he is, again, strokes gained approach is so important on this course. When you look at the strokes gained approach, oftentimes the winner is in the top five in that stat on this golf course. Justin Thomas, I want to say, I was just looking at it last week, top three right now on the PGA Tour and strokes gained approach. He's got that iron game that you want to have. And where I don't think it's always difficult trying to say who's peaking and who's not peaking. You know, is it great to win the week before? Where should you be? I just felt like overall Justin Thomas's game wasn't where it needed to be in the fall, and that panned out. He did play well, but not well enough. But I really think that if you're looking for someone out of that group that you might surprise you a little bit, I think JT's that guy this time around. I think Bryson DeChambeau is so worried about speed and clubhead speed and just, you know, distance. He's so enamored by this. The talk is whether or not he's moving his hosel on his driver to make it a 4.5 degree, which is some of the discussions around Bryson DeChambeau just get inane at points. But, you know, and then you got DJ, who I'm not going to say is content, but he did it. I'm sure he'd love to do it again, but the hunger may not be the same. Spieth, we already talked about, I think is not really the right guy. He's probably way overvalued right now. I do follow, by the way. I don't gamble a lot, but I do follow. So I understand, you know, why that would be so important. And then Rahm, I'd love to see him do it. I just need to see him do it at some point. But JT, I think, is a guy who out of that group, JT's a solid bet right now.
Yeah, John Rahm's got that new baby swag, though. You gotta worry a bit about that.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. About that... that was like the one angle that I found I heard. I was like, you know what? Rahm's good. I hear that guy is, what is he? The number one golfer right now in the world? Is that true?
Number one at Golf Week, number two at Official World.
Gotcha. Okay. So I was thinking like, yeah, I just had a baby, number one in Golf Week. Like I'm going with Rahm. Then I heard everyone with a sports betting podcast and radio show that breaks down the Masters mention that. And I was like, all right. Never mind. That's not that good of an angle. Is there something to that, Essen, or who were you looking at, the six names that I mentioned?
Yeah, so from those six, you know, I'm going to go with DeChambeau, plus 1,100 here. It's not great value, but he was the pre-tournament favorite in the fall, coming off the, you know, commanding U.S. Open victory. And you know, so, yeah, there is oddly some sort of value here at plus 1,100. And, you know, but you got to fade Dustin Johnson to do that. And, you know, as Tim's talked about, that's tough. The only real thing to back up that decision is that there hasn't been a back-to-back Masters champion since Tiger Woods in 2001, 2002. But, you know, Johnson this past year has been playing the closest anyone has played to that peak Tiger Woods level almost. And, yeah, only the one win in 2021 at the Saudi International European Tour, but that was a very strong field. Yeah, very good chance Dustin Johnson goes back-to-back here. I'm not going to bet a guy at plus 900 at the Masters ever. DeChambeau, yeah, I think we talked about disregarding the results of last year. That plays to DeChambeau's favor. That was also his first time playing Augusta with this new swing and mentality and all this at a distance. So I think he has four rounds of experience on playing it in that style to draw from now. He knows when to be a bit more conservative, when to be smarter. I think that's going to play to his advantage. You know, Thomas coming off the Players' Championship win, Spieth coming off the Blair Texas Open, Rahm coming off the birth of his baby boy, all factors. Rory McIlroy, now, the forgotten man here, plus 1,800 is great value for a guy looking to complete the career Grand Slam once again. In horrible form this year, sure, especially by his standards. Changed swing coaches a couple of weeks ago. Maybe that's been enough time now to get it together. I'm personally not too interested, but you're not going to get many chances to bet Rory McIlroy at plus 1,800. So, you know, I can't hate on anyone that wants to do it.
I will add this too. I mean, take Spieth out of it, as we both just said. I think he's definitely overvalued at this point. But that DJ, Bryson, JT, John Rahm quartet, I mean, it drops off quite a bit for me after that. I mean, even Rory, I just don't let's put it this way. If it's not one of those four, I would be surprised. Or at least I would say, if you were to give me those four against the field, even at pretty, you know, outstanding odds, I think I would still take it. I think those four, that's really, those are the ones that are, you know, in my eyes are going to be there on Sunday.
That's exciting, because the next question I have here is one of the bets that I saw on BetMGM, which is big five or the field. Now, that would include Spieth, I guess.
Right.
But to answer your question, kind of, or the point that you were just making, the big five is plus 125, and the field is minus 175. Would you take plus 125?
I mean, you know, golf's such a screwy thing that so many – that's why you have so many players that you've never heard of if you don't follow the game a ton that come out and win some of these golf tournaments. But Augusta's just not like that. There are very few. There are exceptions, the Danny Willetts, you know, the folks who pop up. But, man, I would be surprised if it's not one of those five. Let's put it that way. I will be a little bit surprised if one of those five doesn't win this thing. DJ is still DJ. Guy is still a machine. All those other guys are, you know, aside from Jordan, and Jordan's playing really well right now. So it's tough. That's a good bet in my eyes. Of course, I'm not putting any money on it.
I mean, I'm putting all the money on it for both of us. So it's all good. What do you think about that, Austin?
Tim, we're 25 minutes into a PGA Tour major podcast here. We haven't talked about Brooks Koepka. We talked about Big Five. I'm not touching that bet because that big five somehow doesn't include four-time major winner Brooks Koepka, a guy who has played extremely well at Augusta National the last 2 years. You know, this guy was plus 1,200, plus 1,300, depending where you're looking, in mid-November, coming off a T7 finish. Are we just writing off Brooks Koepka? How much are you reading into this knee surgery thing?
Yeah.
Because I think that this is... No, I don't want to say a fabricated story, but this seems way too overblown for me. Brooks Koepka, four-time major winner, isn't undergoing a surgery a month ahead of a major if he doesn't think he's going to be able to come back from it, and he's not going to go ahead and play the Masters and then jeopardize his chances at the PGA Championship and the U.S. Open in a couple months.
Man, I don't know. I'll be honest, I do have some fairly close sources to Brooks, and he was nervous that he was out for a long stretch. I mean, he really was. He thought this was going to be, from what I heard, and again, this is secondhand knowledge, but my source close to that said that Brooks really thought that he might not be at any of the majors this year just a couple of months ago. I don't know. I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't touch him right now. You're right. You're not going to see value like that if he gets healthy at any point in the future. But man, I just don't know. I there are so many ifs about him right now. I just don't know if I'd touch him.
Tim,
I love the conspiracy theory on that though.
Oh,
that's what we're here for.
All about conspiracy theory, 2020 Masters. Yeah,
that might have been the greatest stretch of bet slipping podcast ever. We got a conspiracy theory one. And you said the most powerful thing ever, Tim, which is my sources. God damn it, I want sources. I need sources. I'm so jealous. I'm sorry.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, give me one? All right. Yeah.
That source that gave me that essentially told me the day before this that he was engaged. That news didn't come out for about 3 weeks to a month. And the reason was because the injury happened right in that time frame, and they thought that he was really going to be in a lot of trouble. And so because of that, they didn't release the engagement because they thought that news was and then I don't know if you saw, but when he was engaged, it came out in a couple of sources that it had actually taken place almost a month before but hadn't been released. So that's why I have to actually give my source some credit on this one, because
hey, we're fading Koepka. Gotcha.
So that beach photo of the engagement, that was pre-surgery.
Okay, well, I think that was
derails
staged.
My whole theory, though.
I think that was staged. I think that was post. Okay. Yeah, I think.
Love the conspiracy theories. They weren't even at the beach. But they did that with Photoshop, I bet.
That's not even Brooks Koepka. It's somebody else's body that they put his head on.
Chase stood in for him.
Yeah, no, but I do think that there is something to this, and I think that if nothing else – just remember, we're talking about Augusta National here. We're not talking about some course that these guys can really attack. And the fact that there might even be this much doubt in his mind about what his body can do, I think that just that really makes it really difficult to think that that could happen.
Next question on my list here, and Eston, you might be able to add to it. I think you kind of partially just answered it, but it was sleepers. What sleepers do you like here in the tournament? And somehow, I guess it's partially the knee thing with Brooks Koepka. He's turned into kind of a sleeper, but I'll let you answer it first, Tim, and then you follow it up, Eston. What are some sleepers that maybe people aren't talking about that you
sure
could see getting the green jacket this year?
I could tell you who my favorite golfer aside from following Jordan Spieth is, and that's Tyrrell Hatton, who I think at, I don't know what he's at now, 40 something to one. I mean, he's got quite a bit of value. This is a guy who either blows up. I mean, he is definitely someone who just watching him go around the golf course is very, very entertaining. But man, I'm telling you, when this guy's playing, he can play with the best in the world. And again, I'm going to go back to that silly strokes gained approach stat. He's one of those guys who in the past has been really strong at this, top 10, top 15 guy on tour. He's a guy I see, if I'm going to stick with that theory on the strokes gained approach thing, This goes against our theory of you have to you have to know the course. But Will Zalatoris is one of those guys. Man, I think he's almost 100 to one. I saw. That's a guy who he's got game. Man, this guy can play, and he's going to be someone on tour if he's not already. I mean, he's not a household name yet, but that's a guy I could see if someone's going to Danny Willett this thing. Will Z is our guy to do that.
He's plus 6,600 right now. Is he technically a debutant?
Yes. Yeah, and he's plus 110 for top debutant. And yeah, absolutely in the mix here. You know, just top tens everywhere. Kind of the past year, ever since coming off the Korn Ferry Tour full time, made his biggest splash at the U.S. Open. But yeah, definitely a threat. I fully agree there, Tim. I'm going to go against you, though, for the top debutant pool. Number two by the odds there is Carlos Ortiz at plus 225. Now, not a guy who gets a whole lot of attention. Won the Vivint Houston Open in the fall swing. So, yeah, rightfully, doesn't get a whole lot of attention, I guess. Ranked 47th in the official world golf ranking. Tied for 10th on tour in par five scoring. 13th in both three putt avoidance and bogey avoidance. So yeah, I like the odds here as top debutant with Zalatoris getting all the attention, but Carlos Ortiz plus 12,500 to win outright. I don't hate that either.
All right. So another bet that I was looking at is hole in one. It's a hole in one prop. Yes is minus 175. No is plus 125. To me, this seems like easy money. There's been 87 hole in ones in the history of the Masters. What is this? What number of tournament is it the 87th edition? 85th. Yeah, they took 3 years off for the World War II, right? I was trying to do like math in my head, but I don't know, but. I'm a sucker, obviously. I've never bet on golf. This to me looks like a lock. I mean, why is it not a lock? Especially to your guys' point, like the grounds crew's angry, right? Like or the revenge of the grounds crew. Is that could that help me cash this bet?
Yeah, there wasn't one in the fall. Strangely enough, we talked about the course playing easier, and you just mentioned all the hole in ones, especially on what number 16. I don't know, obviously such a risky prop always. I would never pay the minus 175 for the yes here. If you do want to bet it, plus 125 is the way to go, I guess. But you know, anytime you put 88 of the best golfers in the world together on one course for four rounds, it's almost bound to happen.
I agree with that. I will say, I don't know. That's such a fluky one.
Damn right.
What I've seen, over the course of, and I've actually been to the Masters a handful of times. I won't be there this year. They're only given very limited credentials again after the fall. But, it's just such a fluky bet. It can come down to something as simple as whether or not that breeze picks up just a bit, that totally throws that one off. That's one, you know, you make that bet on Thursday morning just before they go off and gather as much info as you can. But to do that in advance, that's a tough one. I just think that's a tough one.
Fair enough. Another question that I might just tee off for S, or give Essen a chance here to tee off on, and definitely a way in. But it's the top playable or top player markets. Which ones are you looking at in terms of like top American, top top United Kingdom player, or top Asian player, those type of markets? What are you looking at for the Masters, Essen?
Top English. I love Matt Fitzpatrick at +400. I like Matt Fitzpatrick to win this tournament and win his first Masters. Comes in excellent form. You know, he's guy, he European Tour star, all sorts of wins over in Europe, but he's struggled on PGA Tour. He hasn't played, you know, extended stretches on the PGA Tour really before. He has this year, and he's playing fantastic golf. I like him +4,500 to win, +400 for the top Englishman. I like that. Biggest competition there is Paul Casey, who has also been playing great golf. And as Tim mentioned, Tyrrell Hatton, who can emerge at any point. This pool is great. I love this top English market. But Matthew Fitzpatrick's my pick at +400. Top European. Yeah, that's kind of the same pool. Sergio Garcia, I like here. He's another guy I like to win outright at +5,000. He's +1,400 in the pool. And, you know, this is really just a chance for me to talk about Sergio Garcia, 41-year-old former champion. One of my favorite stats on the PGA Tour this year is Sergio Garcia is second to Bryson DeChambeau in strokes gained off the tee this year. You know, put those guys side by side, whatever. There is nothing similar about Sergio Garcia and Bryson DeChambeau. That's what I love about golf. You know, Sergio Garcia out here 41, still crushing it off the tee. Putting not so great this year. You know, we saw him putt with his eyes closed and win the Sanderson Farms Championship. As strange as that story is, it's a true fact. And you know, he has had success on these greens where so few people have. You know, I like Sergio Garcia +1,400 for top European, of course. Back in that, you got to fade a John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, Paul Casey, Tyrrell Hatton, Lee Westwood, and Matthew Patrick. Very tough to do, but I like value of Sergio Garcia coming in April.
Sergio lives in Austin, Texas now. That's why, you know, he feels like everything's bigger in Texas. So his drives are bigger than ever.
Someone from Texas has to win at this rate. I mean, come on. How many Texas guys have you shut it out?
That's a good point. You know, and it's funny, like Scottie Scheffler, I saw is, I don't know where he's at in the 30s or 40s, but he's a perfect example. If you ask me now, of course I could be completely wrong on this, but he's a perfect example of a guy who A, doesn't have the game just yet that translates at Augusta and doesn't have the local knowledge. So if you're looking the opposite at who wouldn't factor in right now, I love Scottie Scheffler's game. I just don't think it's a very good buy at Augusta.
And I'm all jacked up on March Madness still, Tim, and I'm trying to make some more money off of amateurs. Can you help handicap this top amateur or this amateurs group for us? Which of these three names has like a viable shot doing some damage in Augusta? We got Ty Strafacci. All these guys are +100,000, but he's 11th in the amateur golf rankings. You got Joe Long, who's number 46, and Chris Osborne. Which one of those names do you think will become more?
Ollie Osborne is my guy, man. Ollie Osborne from the USAM. I love his game, and I mean, I know he's a really, really long shot for this, but
any chance he's from Texas?
And he, where is he from? Texas? He might be. No, where is he from?
I thought that's what you meant.
No. Ollie Osborne is a guy who just watching him during the USAM was just awesome. And, you know, Tyler Strafacci's a heck of a player. There's a lot of guys out of those three, though. I'll be rooting for Ollie. So I'd take him. I think he's, I'm trying to look it up. He's like 1,000 to 1. There you go.
There's also this top amateur market where we have Strafacci -135, Long +220, and Osborne at +350. So Osborne's your pick there. You can good triple value. Up your money.
Good value. Ollie's getting you good value. That's what I like.
Love it. So I know you got to get out of here in a second, Tim, but let's get some final thoughts, some takes, or some your pick to win the 2021 Masters before we bid you adieu. Do you have any, final handicaps, takes, or things to pay attention to here for this year's Masters?
You know, I'll tell you a couple quick things. I think I said this in the fall. Tommy Fleetwood is a guy that I just love following. He's a fun guy to watch. He's got all the bits and pieces. He's never kind of put it together, and he certainly hasn't done it on this side of the pond yet. But there's nothing to say that he would do it at the Masters. He's someone I'm interested in just following, maybe not for this year, maybe to just see if he can start to build that knowledge base that we're talking about to win in the future. I would love to see that. You know, I talked with Bubba. I said this before, but I talked with Bubba Watson yesterday for a story for a while, and his head's in an interesting place, man. He's been someone with anxiety issues and some mental health issues. He was very open and honest with me when we talked yesterday. He's like, look, I would love to lie to you and say I'm perfect right now, but I'm not. I have bad days and good days, but I will say I'm trying to put things in better perspective. And when I get on a roll, I feel better than ever. I just enjoy it and soak it up. Again, guys who've done well here in the past. I think Bubba was fifth 2 or 3 years ago, 12th a couple years ago as well. He struggled last in the fall, but the previous two tournaments, he still played well, even though he's getting older. Bubba might be interesting to watch. He's someone who could put his game together and would perform here. But overall, like I said, I can tell you from a page view perspective, if Jordan Spieth and or Bryson DeChambeau are at the top of this thing, it's going to be great for my website. But I have a feeling that Justin Thomas will be the guy on Sunday that we're talking about winning this thing. And I want to be able to say at the end of this that I'm 2 for 2 on this podcast. So JT, get it done for me this weekend.
Yeah, I want to be able to say that too, because I just mentally bet on Justin Thomas. So thank you. All right. Well, I appreciate it, Tim, stopping by, and it's always great talking golf with you. Everyone, be sure to check out Tim and his website, golfweek.com. I don't know if there's anything specific you'd like to plug before you get out of here.
Yeah, real quickly, we had a 7-part series on Dustin Johnson, The Making of a Champion, that just finished up yesterday. Really good stuff by Steve DiMeglio, our longtime PGA Tour beat writer. And I'm telling you, it's a deep, deep dive. There's a lot of weird, interesting pieces to this about his relationship with Wayne Gretzky and how he goes to this quote-unquote mental island when he starts to struggle. So it's very interesting stuff. And I'll tell you what, we have this great, great, great guy who does odds for us. You should come to our website. It's Eston McLaren who does all of our stuff for on odds. So you can check all that out at golfweek.com. And I always appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity, guys.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. Take care, buddy. I love that guy.
Yeah, that was great.
I'm actually anticipating him making me money here.
Good chance. He broke my heart a little bit shooting down my Brooks Koepka conspiracy theory, man. I felt good about that one.
Yeah, that was solid. I would still like defer to you, but he went with my sources. It's like, oh shit, you don't have anything to come back with my sources.
Yeah. Can't compete. No.
Did you lock in your bet already, or did he maybe just save you money?
Yeah, I got some before at a much worse number than plus 2,500, but hey, at least I don't have to triple down. That's always a relief, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess kind of segueing here, we're just going to go to the window. This podcast, this episode is mostly covering Masters, actually pretty much essentially covering Masters. I do have an NBA best bet that I'm going to give you here going to the window, but let's get into it and get out of here afterwards.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the window.
All right, so I have one Masters pick. I'm taking the homie. Tim Schmidt's pick, Justin Thomas, plus 1,100 to win the Masters. We're going to see if Tim goes 2 for 2 on the Bet Slippin' Podcast. I'm behind on my Masters handicap. I'm going to steal maybe a couple of your picks, Eston, but the floor is yours. I know you got a lot of Masters stuff going on, so why don't you tell the listeners where you're putting your money this weekend?
Yeah, so I've been betting the 2021 Masters since the odds came out in November. And, that's just kind of tracking movement, tracking performance. So my favorite bet a couple of months ago was Lee Westwood. I got him at plus 100,000 to one, or 100,000 to one plus 100,000, whatever. You know, that value disappeared. He had a great performance at the Arnold Palmer Invitational at the Players Championship. He's down to plus 4,000. So that can't be bet at all at this point. I would advise people to avoid that. Like I said, I was locked into Brooks Koepka, listened to Tim here, I guess, and I'll fade that pick as begrudgingly as I got to say that. But one live pick I like this week, having talked with Tim, knowing that the course is going to play harder this week than it did in the fall, I love Webb Simpson at plus 3,500. I think that's value. He was a guy I was on in the fall. He played great golf in 2020, has been pretty quiet early this year. This is a guy, his game is well suited to tough golf courses, tough conditions. I like the value at plus 3,500 for him. I like Sergio Garcia at plus 5,000. That's another bet I got in a while ago. But you want a live pick here at the top of the board. Tim says the winner's coming from this top six group, top five group, top four. Really, he's fading Spieth as well. I'm going to go with Bryson DeChambeau at plus 1,100. I think that he's a guy, he can use that experience from the fall, even though it's going to be a pretty different golf course. He knows now how his game plays to the general layout. I think that's going to be a big advantage for him. He was the pre-tournament favorite 5 months ago. He's not now, so that's betting value. I like Bryson DeChambeau.
A question that I should have asked. Actually, no, this pertains more to you, Tim. I don't know how much you'd be able to weigh in on this, but how much of your golf tournament betting portfolio maybe do you allocate towards live betting, if at any at all?
Very rarely, to be honest with you. And, you know, that's kind of a consensus kind of around the industry. It's just so volatile in golf betting, you know. The books are so sharp and so, well, not even sharp perhaps, but quick at least to, you know, if a guy hits a good approach shot and is in birdie distance, or if a guy ahead of one the leaderboard is in bogey distance, you know, you don't really have that area to attack. And, you know, things can change so quickly. And, you know, live golf betting, data golf is a great resource to track live strokes gained in a tournament. But, you know, things like putting are so volatile that, you know, you can make putts for 71 holes and then three or four putt the last hole and there goes your live bet out the window. So yeah, it's just way too risky. I, you know, only save a little bit to, you know, probably more often or not double down on a guy that I like coming in. If he gets off to a bad start, that's where I'll place my live bets rather than trying to jump too late to the party on a guy who's, you know, top five on the leaderboard going into Sunday.
Gotcha. Kind of like what I did with the Denver Nuggets the other day, where they were down 18 at halftime against the Orlando Magic. And I bet them at, I think, minus 115 to actually win the game, which they ended up coming back and winning by, I think, close to double digits. Do you have any other golf bets on your slip here?
No, that's it for me. The plenty of content up on Sportsbook Wire, like you said, like Tim said. I have my outright picks, fantasy golf power rankings, sleepers and long shots. Gary Woodland plus 10,000 is a nice long shot, coming off a great short game performance at the Valero Texas Open. You know, I look at Dustin Johnson's odds and his betting option, a couple value bets for the defending champion. I have one bet for each of the favorites. This is a piece I did for the Players Championship we talked about on this show. So yeah, there's just a plus money bet on each golfer or each of the top 10 betting favorites. And then one on Dustin Johnson, not plus money, but minus 115 for him to be top 10, going for his sixth straight top 10 finish at the Masters. You know, I think that's the biggest lock of this entire tournament this week.
Awesome, dude.
And I'm going to have matchups and props Wednesday morning. So,
okay, yeah, we're recording, should have said this earlier, recording Tuesday, April 6th. Obviously, the Masters starts Thursday here, April 8th. So great, you're going to do more handicapping tomorrow. And be sure to check out Essence stuff on sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. I have an NBA pick this week. It's a future, though. I'm not doing best bets. Last week was an absolute dud, huge bummer. Hopefully, your listeners didn't follow me on my pick. I had the Pelicans over the Hawks. I did it a few days in advance. Like every NBA regular season gamble or bet you're going to make, be sure to wait as close to the final tip-off as you can, especially this year, because players are getting pulled out of lineups ever more frequently nowadays this year. So I took the Pelicans over the Hawks last week, and if you just blindly followed my bet, you would have been betting a Pelicans team without Zion, without Brandon Ingram, without Lonzo Ball, the top three scorers, two of which are all-stars. Well, one last year, one this year. So needless to say, well, I guess not needless, but be sure to check the final injury report and wait as close to the tip-off as you can. In future episodes, I'm going to be looking at NBA, still doing some maybe NBA best bets where I see fit, and some baseball as well. Don't have any gamers on the bet slip today, but what I do have is the Denver Nuggets to win the Western Conference. Right now on BetMGM, it's +850. So 8.5 to 1 on your money. I got it at 9 to 1. I'm actually going to take some more pieces here. I love this bet. The trade deadline additions of Aaron Gordon and JaVale McGee take the defensive and rebounding pressure off of Nikola Jokic. One of my buddies who I talk basketball a lot with, not going to name drop him because it doesn't matter. It's just not my point originally. So I do somewhat want to give credit or be honest, but I really love the point that he made, which is Aaron Gordon and the addition of Aaron Gordon and JaVale McGee essentially allows Jokic just to worry about MVP stuff. Get your triple doubles, get your gaudy rebounds, your assists, score points, win games down the stretch, but the banging around down low, the rebounding, the help defense responsibility, you can relinquish some of that to Aaron Gordon and JaVale McGee. Aaron Gordon right now, when he got moved to Denver, I think is put in a more proper role. It was pretty unreasonable to ask him to make the Magic a contender, and the basketball community kind of needed to reset their expectations on Gordon. Pretty sure he was a top 10 pick, and you know, he looks the part. He's got a lot of things to his game, but he was kind of victim of improper expectations, in my opinion. So being a role player, not even really a scoring option, just a fourth, if anything, a fourth option is more appropriate for him and just adds to the arsenal of the Nuggets. No team in the West, besides maybe Utah, has the continuity that Denver does or the depth. Typically, teams need to take lumps before pushing through to the finals. Obviously, Denver did by losing the Western Conference last year. And again, they have everyone healthy, and they have as deep of a team as any in the league right now. Lakers and Clippers are ahead of them in the Western Conference pricing, but those guys have dudes in and out of the lineup all the time, specifically Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis right now. They should be the favorite, and if they're right come the playoffs, I would expect them to win the West, but you know, I'm liking the value of the +8500. And watch out for Michael Porter Jr. I love this kid. He creates his own shot, offensive rebounds at an elite level, great catch-and-shoot player, finishes in transition, hits threes in transition. According to cleaningtheglass.com, he's in the 94th percentile in on-off team offensive efficiency and 95th percentile in on-off team effective field goal shooting. He's in the 96th percentile of wings and points per shot attempt. He's ninth in the league in true shooting percentage, sixth in effective field goal percentage. He's pretty weak on defense, right? But that's what Aaron Gordon should help with. An elite wing defender competent is probably the best way to put it. Competent elite a wing defender, someone that they can at least throw at Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James. Again, I know where the Nuggets are weak. It is that wing defense spot, but that's built in on a line, and I still see the value in the +850 Nuggets to win the West. That's all I got for my bet slip. Eston, are we getting out of here?
We're getting out of here. We got golf too. keep writing about, and, you know, set up on your couch properly, get your snacks, and, you know, starting soon.
Yeah,
less I gotta go. Then 48 hours away. I can't wait.
Yeah, I gotta go snack shopping. You actually just brought up a great idea. All right, homies, good luck in the Masters on the hardwood or the diamond or wherever you're putting your sports gambling action. Let's make some money this week, homies. Thanks for streaming the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We out.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.